Nemoto presents AI, an uncertain future. AI, civic architecture and procurement. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 18 minutes. At City Hall on a Tuesday night, the council chambers are packed. On the agenda, whether the city should adopt an AI-driven system for allocating police patrols and a machine learning platform to streamline welfare benefits processing. Residents, local activists, and tech representatives line up to speak. Some laud the potential efficiency and cost savings. Others voice concern about bias, transparency, and the loss of human judgment in civic decisions. The counselors pepper the tech vendor with questions. How does your model decide which neighborhoods get more policing? Can citizens appeal if the AI flags them as ineligible for aid? Will you let an independent auditor examine your algorithm? This scene, or ones like it, is playing out in municipalities around the world as local governments grapple with the influx of AI into public services. The term civic architecture here refers to the frameworks, legal, procedural, ethical, that cities and governments construct to manage AI's integration into governance. Municipal procurement, the process by which cities buy or license technology, is a key leverage point. It's where public values can be asserted through contract requirements and standards. And there are many other policy levers at play: regulatory sandboxes, ordinances, public participation initiatives, and so on. In essence, how can our civic institutions steer AI in a direction that bolsters the public good rather than eroding it? Local governments are on the front lines of implementing AI in ways that directly touch people's lives. Unlike national governments, which can be ponderous, cities often have more agility to experiment, or conversely, to be exploited by vendors peddling shiny new tools with insufficient oversight. This makes municipal procurement practices incredibly important. The old adage, "you get what you pay for," applies. If a city just buys the cheapest algorithmic system without considering quality, accountability, or long-term implications, it might save money now but pay a different price later in public trust or lawsuits over rights violations. Conversely, if cities demand certain safeguards in their RFPs, requests for proposals, and contracts, for example, requiring that any AI system used in a high-stakes public function come with an audit log, an explanation interface, bias testing results, and an option for human override that can set an industry standard, vendors will adapt to meet the requirements of big buyers. One powerful lever is transparency mandates at the municipal level. Some pioneering cities have established algorithm registries, essentially public lists of what algorithmic systems are being used by city agencies, for what purpose, and some details about how they work. This is part of the civic architecture, making the use of AI visible to the public rather than hidden in bureaucratic processes. When New York City attempted such a move with an algorithm accountability task force, it faced challenges because agencies and vendors were initially reluctant to disclose details, citing complexity or trade secrets. But even the attempt sparked a broader conversation and led other cities to consider similar measures. The logic is simple. People have a right to know how decisions about them or their community are being made, especially if automated systems are involved. And if an agency can't explain it in plain language or doesn't fully understand the tool it's using, that's a red flag that maybe it shouldn't be using it. Another lever: pilot programs with rigorous evaluation. City governments can and should pilot AI solutions before fully committing and measure their outcomes against clear success criteria. For instance, if a city pilots an AI in its child protective services to help identify at-risk children, it should monitor not just accuracy but also false positives, whether caseworkers actually find it helpful or distracting, whether families experience any change in how they're treated, etc. Public policy can require that these pilot results be reported in an open forum, allowing public input before scaling up. This ensures a feedback loop from real-world use back to policy adjustments. Municipalities also have the power of procurement consortia, teaming up to demand better terms. Imagine if a coalition of major cities agree that they will not purchase any facial recognition system for law enforcement unless it meets a high accuracy bar across different demographics and has a built-in bias mitigation plan. This collective bargaining could push the industry to prioritize ethical design, because the reward is access to large markets. Public policy levers extend to legislation and regulation at the local level. City councils can pass ordinances banning certain uses of AI deemed too risky, and indeed, we've seen cities ban government use of facial recognition tech due to concerns over privacy and biased policing. They can also set data retention and sharing policies, e.g., data collected by city AI systems cannot be sold or shared without council approval. They might mandate impact assessments for any new automated decision system, an analysis of potential disparate impacts, due process issues, etc., prepared by an independent reviewer, must accompany any proposal for adoption. Some have suggested the concept of an algorithmic impact assessment, akin to environmental impact assessments developers must submit for building projects. A crucial but often overlooked lever is capacity building within government. Hiring or training people who understand AI is critical if cities are to procure and oversee these systems intelligently. If no one in City Hall knows how machine learning works or what questions to ask, then vendors hold all the cards. Increasingly, some cities are hiring chief data officers or technology advisors, and forming partnerships with local universities or nonprofits to bring in expertise. Consider public procurement officers. Historically, they manage bidding and contracts for things like roads or office supplies. Now they might have to evaluate an AI solution. They need new criteria and knowledge, perhaps even new professional guidelines, to do that. Investing in this human infrastructure is as much a policy lever as any law. Civic architecture includes how we involve the public in decisions about AI use. Public consultations, participatory design sessions, and giving community representatives seats in oversight committees can all help align AI deployments with public values. For instance, if a city considers an AI system to allocate social housing, involving advocacy groups and people who have been on housing waitlists in the discussion can surface concerns. Maybe the model might inadvertently penalize larger families or certain neighborhoods, and values, like should the algorithm prioritize those waiting longest or those in most urgent need. Those are moral decisions that should be made collectively, not by a computer in isolation. Some cities have even convened citizens' assemblies to deliberate on tech issues, providing recommendations to policymakers, a kind of direct democratic input into tech governance. One of the strongest policy levers is procurement contracts themselves. A city can write into a contract that the vendor must, for example, provide documentation of the algorithm's decision logic, retrain the model regularly with local data to maintain accuracy, allow third-party audits for bias, indemnify the city if the system's errors lead to legal challenges, or incorporate an appeal mechanism for individuals who feel wronged by an automated decision. These specific terms can operationalize principles like fairness and accountability in a tangible way. They turn lofty values into enforceable obligations. The tricky part is that not all cities have the clout or know how to negotiate such terms. Vendors might balk or charge more. This is where model procurement guidelines or state-level support can assist smaller municipalities in being savvy purchasers. We should consider also the balance of power between public sector and tech providers. If government outsources too much to opaque AI systems, it can lose control of critical policy judgments. For instance, imagine a welfare eligibility algorithm delivered as a service by a company with minimal transparency. If it suddenly changes, maybe the company updated it, the agency might not know why application approvals dropped last month or whether it's due to a flaw. That's unacceptable for public accountability. Policies can insist on algorithmic audit rights. The government must be able to inspect the system's workings or have an external auditor do so at any time. Governments can also insist on contingency plans. If the AI fails or is found untrustworthy, the vendor must help revert to a manual process or hand over necessary tools to move to another system. This avoids lock-in, where a city becomes so dependent on one company's AI that it's stuck even if issues arise. Public policy can use sticks and carrots to encourage better AI. A carrot, offering challenge grants or pilot funding to companies that develop AI for, say, traffic congestion or climate resilience, provided they adhere to data ethics guidelines. A stick, fines or contract termination if an AI system is discovered to be illegally biased or in violation of privacy rules. Additionally, cities can join or form alliances for open-source civic tech. If one city builds a good open-source tool for, say, detecting potholes with AI and shares it, others can adopt it without being bound to a vendor. This fosters collaborative self-reliance and could alleviate the need to buy expensive proprietary solutions. What about state and federal frameworks? They are part of the civic architecture as well, though at higher levels. Federal anti-discrimination law, for instance, applies to government services whether or not AI is used, but maybe it needs updating to explicitly cover algorithmic bias. States might pass laws requiring algorithmic transparency for public agencies, or creating state-level resources, like an AI ethics board, to support localities. However, local action often moves faster and can lead the way, as we saw with early municipal broadband efforts or climate pledges. In terms of overall philosophy, the idea of augmentation, not replacement, appears in Civic AI just as in Education, Episode 6. Public policy can encourage deployments where AI assists human officials rather than making unchecked decisions. For example, an AI might flag unusual spending patterns for a city auditor to review, rather than automatically freezing accounts. Or an AI forecasting tool might suggest where infrastructure repairs are needed, but city engineers still set priorities after community consultation. By structuring roles such that AI provides input and humans remain accountable decision makers, we preserve a key principle: democratic control. If citizens don't like how a decision is made, they can go to their representative or the agency, who can change policy or override the system. But if the system itself is fully in control, whom do you hold accountable? The civic architecture must ensure that algorithms don't become unelected policymakers. Municipal officials also have an advocacy role upward. They can demand that federal regulators step in where needed, for example, calling on national agencies to set safety standards for autonomous vehicles before letting them loose on city streets. City governments are closer to the ground and often first to spot emergent problems. Their voices in national policy discussions are crucial. One concrete lever to mention is public procurement of data. Increasingly, to have robust, fair AI, governments need good data. Sometimes they have it, like years of records. Sometimes not. Public policy can establish data trusts or require data sharing from private entities for public interest uses. For instance, a city might require ride-sharing companies to share anonymized trip data to improve transit planning. This data can feed AI solutions for traffic management, which benefit all. Building a data commons of sorts under careful governance can empower the public sector to develop or verify its own AI systems rather than depending wholly on private data, which can skew algorithms towards the context the private firm cares about. Finally, consider public engagement and literacy as a policy lever. City governments can hold workshops for citizens on how an AI used in, say, policing works, to demystify it and gather feedback about acceptable use. Some police departments that adopted predictive policing, an AI to predict crime hotspots, faced backlash and ultimately rolled it back due to community concerns about profiling. If, at the start, they had transparently engaged communities, they might have discovered concerns earlier or co-designed the criteria for use, like ensuring such tools aren't used punitively but as one input for community policing strategies and accompanied by bias mitigation. Public inclusion can legitimize or delegitimize the use of AI in civic space. People might accept, for instance, an AI traffic light control if they understand it and see improved congestion, but reject an AI social credit scoring if it's seen as mass surveillance antithetical to local values. Public sentiment is itself a lever. Officials who are responsive will shape policy to align with what constituents find acceptable. Therefore, raising public literacy about AI, so that fears or hopes are based on reality, is part of building an informed civic environment for these decisions. The concept of civic architecture evokes something constructed intentionally: blueprint, materials, labor. It implies that societies can indeed shape the role of technology by design, rather than just live in whatever structure tech companies drop on us. Municipalities, being close to citizens, are well placed to insist that AI serves human-centered goals: fairness, justice, efficiency in service of well-being, accountability. They also can experiment. One city's innovative ordinance can become a model for others if successful. We should be candid that governments often lag tech advances, and not all will get it right initially. But through networks like the League of Cities or international coalitions, like those sharing best practices on smart city governance, municipalities learn from each other. One city's fiasco, say a failed AI system that caused scandal, can be a lesson for all if knowledge is shared. Conversely, a success story, like a city that used AI to drastically cut energy use in public buildings without controversy, can inspire peers. The evolving civic architecture for AI likely will incorporate adaptive regulation, rules that can be tightened or relaxed as outcomes become clear. For example, a city might start with a moratorium on certain uses, like facial recognition, until guidelines are developed, then allow them for narrowly defined purposes under strict conditions later on. Or it might pilot an algorithm in one department before scaling citywide, building guardrails incrementally. The underlying principle should be aligning AI with public values and democratic oversight. Every lever mentioned, procurement contracts, transparency laws, ethical guidelines, community input, is a way of asserting that these technologies, when in the public domain, must bend to the public will and the public good. They are not mere commercial products but part of the fabric of governance if government uses them. That means our existing values like equity, due process, privacy, and efficiency need translation into technical and contractual specifications, a task requiring collaboration between policymakers, technologists, lawyers, and citizens. One future vision is that cities establish algorithmic ombudsman offices, places where citizens can complain if they feel an AI treated them unjustly, and those ombudsmen have the expertise and authority to investigate and require remedies. This parallels older institutions like auditor generals or civil rights offices, updated for the algorithmic era. It's another piece of civic architecture ensuring recourse and learning when something goes awry. In conclusion, while advanced AI might seem to blow in like an unruly storm, local public policy levers are our toolkit for building storm shelters and channels. Civic leaders can't control all of AI's trajectory, especially uses in private sector. But when it comes to public services and communal life, they have significant agency to set standards, choose wisely, and implement carefully. Each contract signed or ordinance passed is a brick in the new civic architecture of the AI age. We have to be sure those bricks are solid and in the right place. The combined effect will determine if AI in our cities leads to greater well-being, fairness, and sustainability, or if it undermines trust, worsens inequalities, and serves only narrow interests. The responsibility on municipal officials and engaged citizens is great, but so is the opportunity to reinvent how technology and democracy can progress hand in hand, with local innovation guiding global norms. By using every lever available, procurement, policy, participation, we can strive to ensure that the future smart city is not just smart in a technical sense, but wise, just, and reflective of the people who live in it.